Thee, the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God. We give thanks for your great and tender mercy. Enlighten our minds and keep our senses so that we may walk in the gift of your grace. For you are our God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Healer.
Psalms. You are to be praised, O God in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled. To you the one who answers prayer, to you all flesh shall come. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions. Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth, of the oceans far away. You make firm the mountains by your power. You are girded about with might. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the people. Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, and so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges with heavy rain and soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. Holy wisdom, holy word.
I just celebrated my 40th birthday last weekend, and it caused me to pause for a moment about where I am in my life. Growing up is hard, so I would never wish to be back in my tweens or teens. And my 20s, as life-giving and life-changing and full of promise as those years were, I wouldn't want to go back there either. My 30s included changes in career paths, raising babies into school-age kids, and I'm sure other great things, but I just can't seem to remember because that decade has been a blur. So here I stand, ready to embark on the next decade of my life. I have also had the opportunity this past week to reflect on how my faith has grown and evolved over the last 40 years. From Sunday and Bible school, through Confirmation and Luther League, to the Bible class my first semester here at Gustavus with Bernard Erling, and long talks with college friends, and the years since graduating that I have spent learning from, talking with, and experiencing faith and spirituality in many different ways and in many different places, has all brought me to the place where I am today, which is, well, I'm still not sure. And the older I get, it seems the more questions I have. Questions like, why do good people die too young? How can a church or a community be welcoming to some and not to others? How can it be possible that hate and injustices are still part of our world? Why is it that even here in Minnesota Nice territory, there are still children and adults who are hungry and homeless? Sometimes I get very frustrated with God, but then I realize that God is struggling with these questions too. On Tuesday, Sarah Dill in her homily challenged me that I need to think bigger. Perhaps my understanding of God is not big enough. Perhaps, over the last 40 years, I have boxed God into an image that only I can understand and not fully imagined a bigger God. Perhaps I have not yet let go of the notion that I will never fully understand the greatness of God, and that sometimes the answers are there, but I am thinking too small. In my Bible at home, the translation of Psalm 65, verse 5, goes like this. You answer us in amazing ways, God our Savior. People everywhere on the earth and beyond the sea trust you. I love to use the word amazing. I use it a lot. Everything from these brownies are amazing to that sunrise this morning was amazing. I especially use it when people experience profound moments. When a baby finally rolls over and can see the world from an entirely new perspective. When my daughter plays her first piano recital and she is so proud of her accomplishments. When I sit with a student and they share their story of their time abroad and how profoundly life-changing that experience was. When I can spend an evening with a good friend who will listen to me wonder and doubt and ask God why. When I can sing an old familiar hymn and still hear my grandpa's voice in my head. Those are the times when I use amazing. What about you? What parts of your day or week have you found amazing? Has God answered your question in an amazing way? Over my 40 years, I have had some amazing moments, and I can only hope and pray for more. It has been interesting to me to listen to the homilies this week during this week of hunger and homelessness, to hear from the Word of God that even though there is suffering and pain and hurt, and we see it in others that we meet, we can also see our Lord in those same faces. Amazing. We are called, like Samuel and Isaiah, to meet the other, to be sent. And as Kristen told us on Monday, to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus, our Savior. Again, amazing. Another word in this psalm that I have been drawn to again and again is the word satisfy. Looking at some of the statistics, I am reminded that I am very privileged. There have been over 1.8 million visits to Minnesota food shelves this year, and that number keeps growing. The fastest growing group of food shelf clients is the working poor. 47% of households using food shelves in Minnesota report that paid employment is their major source of income. Of the 87,435 Minnesotans who qualify for assistance through the Commodity Supplemental Food Program in 2007, only 14,071 received assistance because of federal funding limits. I am also reminded that what I have is already enough. I am satisfied. I have a wonderful family whom I love very much, and they love me. I have the best job at Gustavus. I have a roof over my head. I have clean water to drink. I have food in my refrigerator and gas in my minivan. I have my health and health care coverage. I am one of the 1% of the people on the planet with a bachelor's degree. I enjoy being an active part of the many communities that I am involved in. I have a loving God, and I have been saved by Jesus Christ. I am so thankful for all that I have, and again, I am amazed and satisfied. So I will ask you, are you satisfied with what you have? In a few minutes, we will sing the hymn, You Satisfy the Hungry Heart. One line that drew my attention was, with joyful lips, we sing to you our praise and gratitude, similar to David, who in this psalm was thanking God and singing for joy. And what perfect timing. We are less than a week away from Thanksgiving, as we soon will be heading home to spend the holiday feasting with our families. Let us be mindful that usually enough is enough. Let us remember with gratitude our gifts come from God. Let us be satisfied, and let us praise God joyfully. Another line in the hymn is, "You give yourself to us, O Lord, then selfless let us be, to serve each other in your name in truth and charity." So as we feast at our tables at home and at our Lord's table, let us continually ask the question, how can I serve? And as Emily shared in her story yesterday of the young boy in India, how can we be the answer to his question, what are you doing to help me? And for those of us in some sort of transition, let us listen to the answer to the question, what is next? And in the amazing answers, let us rejoice.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May God Almighty order our days and our deeds with peace. Thank you.